Are you ready to wow your friends with trivia tidbits about your favourite books and authors? Join me, Jess.
And me, Rachel.
On our new Book Trivia Podcast.
Each episode, we kick off with some fun book trivia, then dive into our featured read with plenty of juicy behind-the-scenes insights.
If you love books, authors, and a side of silliness, then why not give us a listen?
Find us at booktriviapodcast.com or on Reddit, Instagram, and Substack, where we are Book Trivia Podcast.
You think you know what we're going to talk about.
But unfortunately, I fell down a damn rabbit hole and I've not gotten out yet.
Knife bros.
I literally Googled Sebastian Stan hands.
But just when you least expect it, we changed the game.
Well, yeah, because like usually in astrology, they would partner up air signs with fire signs.
All right, you can huggle.
Time travel stories. And
at the end of the day, only one thing matters. We decide.
Well, we should make it a topic. Unfortunately, I didn't take German in school. I took Spanish and I don't remember any of it.
Three Fates Decide Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Three Fates Decide. I am Liz, and I'm here with my two co-hosts, Mary and Sam. Say hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, so this week's episode, Easter and Passover are coming this weekend, if not right now at this moment. So we're here to talk about those two holidays and what it means to us personally, and talk a little bit about some facts and a little bit of historical context to some degree about the holidays. So I guess we could start with do any of us actually celebrate Easter or Passover?
Yes. Yeah, so I was raised Catholic. My mom's Catholic. My dad was actually raised with no religion, but his mother was Jewish. So I know when I was younger, they used to do the Passover Seders and things like that. I don't remember them. So I don't, I can't tell you from experience what it's like or anything like that. But the only memory that I do have is the matzah. My grandmother would always have matzah for us and we would, eat it with her. And then she would always hide money, and we'd have to go and find it or whatever. And my dad always used to, he loved this time of year because he used to buy boxes of matzah meal and eat that for a month straight. He loved matzah meal. It kind of looked like cement the way that he would make it. And I don't know how it was healthy, how it didn't just harden his insides, but yeah. That's pretty much but I mostly celebrated Easter with my mom's family.
Right.
Yeah, we kind of, I didn't grow up Catholic, but became Catholic when I was, I want to say around 12, I think, is when we converted to Catholicism. I was Presbyterian before that. I mean, we always celebrated Easter, but it was never really big on the religious side until after Catholicism, till after we converted to Catholicism. I mean, we still always had the Easter Bunny, but it was always a lot of going to church and midnight mass, because they always, or not midnight mass, but Easter Vigil. I'm sorry. It's Easter Vigil.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a painful mass.
It is. I would rather I'd rather do Christmas midnight mass than do Easter Vigil mass.
100%, because at least Christmas midnight mass is still only an hour. Or right. Easter Vigil, you could be there for hours.
Depending on how fast the priest talked.
And how many people were getting communioned and confirmed.
Exactly.
Yeah, also and also another nice thing about Christmas midnight mass is that at least the hymns are, a good mix of stuff that you would normally sing as, Christmas carols. So that's cheerful.
That's true.
This is true. Yeah. But,
Yeah, no, Easter Vigil Mass is definitely like probably the most painful of masses in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's like I've only been Catholic, so I don't know what other Christian religions do, but as far as Catholic, oh no, did it once, we'll never do it again. Nope, couldn't pay me enough to be at that Mass. No.
God. Yeah, exactly. Nope. I'm good.
Like, I'm so sorry.
I'm good. It's like, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, no. That was a pain. It's a painful. It is a very painful Mass.
Yeah.
But, oh.
Yeah. Actually, now I think about it, I never really did that. I never went to that Mass, actually.
I would be grateful.
Yeah. Let me think now. What my experience was, I would go. Let me think. I'm trying to remember now. It's been way too long. I'm so bad at this. I would go to the Mass on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime, well, I went to Catholic school like most of my life. So Good Friday, we would have, you know, the Mass for the students.
Mm-hmm.
I went to that. And then I would do the Easter Sunday Mass. Oh, yeah. And also I would do the Palm Sunday one.
Mm-hmm.
My mom always wanted to, especially going on Palm Sunday, because she wanted to get the leaves. And she actually knew how to take some of the leaves and fold them up into crucifixes.
I don't know how people do that. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
I used to know how to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it anymore, but I used to know.
Yeah, it was something about like how you would take like most of the leaves to make up the crucifix, and then there was always one leaf left. That's the one you use as like kind of like the string to like really tie it all up together.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't remember how to do it. Like yeah. I didn't really learn how to do it. So, but yeah, she would always do it.
Before I quit going to church, it would be for Easter, we would go. Oh, obviously, we would always go at the start. We'd always go to Ash. We always went to Ash Wednesday.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
At the start. I mean, that's like the beginning of the Easter season. So
yep.
You have Ash Wednesday. And then we obviously, you'd have Palm Sunday. Then you would have Holy Thursday, Holy Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday. I mean, and we'd go to church that's 4 days in a row I'd be in church. I'm like, I'm tired of going to church.
There's too much church happening.
Yeah. It's just like, I'm tired of church. Tired.
So, you know, growing up, I was telling Mary this, like, I've kind of done a lot, you know, as I was growing up in the church. I was like in the children's choir when I was younger. And then once I received my confirmation, I became an altar server. And I remember one year when I was an altar server, I did the Good Friday Mass at 3:00 because it's funny, like, you know, they say like, oh, Jesus went up on the cross at like noon and he was gone by like 3 p.m. So we would have a 3 p.m. Mass. I'm like, you know, okay, whatever. I don't think they told time like that, but that's fine. Sure. And it was a very nice, quick Mass, but, you know, kind of doing whatever. I enjoyed that. And then, unfortunately, the one time as an altar server, I had to do the Easter Vigil, which is when I said never again. And so after I graduated high school, my one sister who's special needs was a lecturer, and I started lecturing with her because she had a hard time with, like, you know, reading names and stuff like that. So I would mm-hmm. basically get to do all the hard stuff and she got to do the easy stuff. And we did Palm Sunday. And if you recall, on Palm Sunday, you read the Passion.
Yes.
And yep. The one year that she and I got picked to actually read Palm Sunday, I was the narrator. So I had to read the entire Passion while the priest got to say, you know, like 5 words total, and my sister got to say like 5 words total, and I'm out there just, you know, reading the entire thing. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah. Like, no, I will say, I mean, as far as for The Passion, now I don't know if I'll watch it this year or not, but we usually watch it every year it came out, was the Mel Gibson directed version of The Passion of Christ.
Yes.
And right. It's fairly well done.
I liked it.
I know it was very
controversial when it came out.
Right.
Because people thought that he was anti-Semitic, but I thought it was well done.
Yeah.
I liked that it was in Latin.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that just made it more authentic.
Right.
That is an interesting choice, though. Doing it.
It was. Now the only thing I wish he had done is stayed true to, you know, where they were and casted, you know, the correct type of person, you know, Middle Eastern type people for those roles, as opposed to, you know, unfortunately, spoiler alert for those who don't know, Jesus was not, you know, white with blue eyes. He was
yes, he had brown hair, but man did not have blue eyes.
He did not have blue eyes, no.
He most likely had dark brown, hazel to dark brown eyes.
Yep, with dark skin.
And yeah, look at anybody that's from Israel. Mm-hmm. That's what you look like.
Exactly.
I mean,
so like I do wish he had done that, but
I do too. I will admit, I will say that, and I do this, and I say the same thing for other movies that are that have these ethnic roles, and then they cast non-ethnic people in those roles.
Yep.
And I'm just like, come on now. You had to have had somebody that was the right ethnicity audition for these roles.
But you want to know something? And not that I want to start controversy or whatever, but you know that if they did cast it correctly, it would have been an uproar.
I know.
Conservatives. And it that's why I think they choose not to. It's like they pick their battles.
Yeah. But it's just like, at the same time, it's just like,
yeah.
Some roles I can see you might be able to get away with somebody that's a little bit more ambiguous, that's not quite the right ethnicity, mm-hmm. but they could maybe pass for it.
Mm-hmm. They've been doing it for
since the beginning of Hollywood.
Yeah. Because I mean, you look at, I mean, Charles Heston, fantastic actor, played Moses and Ben Hur. Yep. I was going to say that next. I actually watched that movie a lot this time of year, because this is like when it
kind of takes
place. But he played Moses, and again, Moses was not a white man.
Right? It's one that we try to watch, but obviously haven't been watching it for the past few years because of my daughter, because she's not even quite 5 yet. She's not quite ready for that much of something, for something like that, because that would scar a child for life. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That movie would.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember I saw that movie in the theaters, and even like when they were whipping the crap out of them, and they used the cat of nine tails on them, and
mm-hmm.
I had to look away.
Yeah,
because it was just like
he didn't pull his punches when it came to showing what
he went through.
I know it was all Hollywood fakery, and he really wasn't hurt. The actor wasn't, but God. Oh, it just it really drives home what could have happened, what this man went through,
you know, and how he survived as long as he did.
Exactly.
And then, like I said, I mentioned I grew up watching Ben Hur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is a long movie.
It is such a good movie.
It's a long movie, but to be honest, when you actually start watching it, you
it doesn't really feel that long, actually, because there's a lot of stuff that happens in it where you follow, like, his journey of, like, you know, vengeance, and then at the end he kind of realizes that, you know, what good is vengeance when it doesn't change the reality of what's happened, and, you know, you eventually realize that holding on to the vengeance is not going to help you or change anything.
Right.
And there's no satisfaction in it.
Yeah. Well, what I thought was funny about that movie is it's Ben-Hur, the story of Jesus Christ or whatever.
Right.
It's hardly... Jesus comes in and out a couple times, you know, it kind of weaves around certain major things of Jesus' story.
Right.
But it's it's really not. So, and I'm pretty sure most people know what Easter is. I guess we'll just start with that since the three of us all celebrate Easter. But so Easter is also called Resurrection Sunday, and it represents, so basically Jesus told everyone that, you know, he would die, and on the third day he would rise again. And so he died on Friday, and on Sunday he essentially rose from the dead. And that is what we celebrate, is basically, you know, that wonderful miracle. And then, of course, having to prove himself to doubting Thomas and all that fun stuff. But the reason why we're kind of having Easter and Passover in one episode is obviously they're always together. So it's always... Right. The week of Passover is always the holy week for Christians, going into Easter. And so I know, and I've seen a lot of controversy online about how Christians are like, oh, well, you know, we celebrate Passover and blah, blah, blah. It is two separate things. Mm-hmm. You know, what Christians celebrate isn't Passover. They celebrate the Last Supper, which just happened to be a Passover. What Jewish people celebrate is actually Passover with Seders. And I know each Seder is, you know, special in their own way, because Passover is actually 8 days. And this is a very, you know, it's a major Jewish holiday. And basically it celebrates the exodus of the Israelites, the Jewish people, from slavery in Egypt. And for, you know, people who don't know, is that a lamb was offered when the Temple of Jerusalem stood, the Passover Seder, the ritual meal on Passover night, or to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And basically what happens is God commanded Moses to tell the Israelites to mark lamb's blood above their doors, so that the angel of death would pass over them and not touch their firstborn son. And that's what basically Passover is. And the angel of death came and basically kind of took the first, well, didn't kind of, but took the firstborn sons of many of the Egyptians and not the Israelites or the Jews. Mm-hmm. So they celebrate that miracle of God passing over them and not sacrificing their children. So that's what Jewish people celebrate. And again, what Christians celebrate is more of, while it was Passover, it was the night Jesus had the Last Supper, where he again told the disciples, this is what's going to happen. One of you guys, Judas, is going to give me up, and you know, I'm going to be taken and I'm going to die. But don't you fear, I will be back in 3 days. I believe that's a quote for Jesus. I'm joking. But no, that's, you know, he told them what's going to happen. And then, you know, when the disciples are like, no, we're going to protect you. And, you know, we're going to follow you wherever you go. And, you know, don't worry. And he's like, you kind of can't come where I'm going. But here, have this bread and, you know, so that you're one with me. And this is my body. And this wine is my blood. And Catholics is the only Christian religion that does the bread and wine every single mass. Only once. Every other Christian religion only does it on the holidays, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. We like to make it extra special.
Yeah.
For communion. And,
oh, don't forget, not only was he betrayed, he was also denied three times.
I was going to say that next. Yes. Yeah. Not only was that man betrayed by one of his disciples, but then the other one was like, I don't even know who that man is.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know who the heck you're talking about. Nope. And it was he was denied three times before the cock crowed.
Yep.
And for people that don't realize that, country people, that for everybody else, that's a chicken. It's a rooster. It's a male chicken. Just so you know.
But yeah, so that's the religious aspect of Easter.
Yeah.
The non-religious aspect, the pagan aspect, is the Easter bunny and eggs, you know, hunting and Easter baskets and all that stuff.
And candy.
Candy galore.
Lots of candy.
Lots and lots of candy. Lots and lots of pastel, colorful.
Colors. Yep.
Lots of peeps.
Peeps. God, I hate peeps.
I'm not a big peep person.
I'm not either. I don't like them.
I don't like
them. I'm not a big marshmallow person in general.
I love marshmallows. I don't like peeps.
So I know for me, especially like when I was uber religious, and obviously like right now I'm not. I think people could tell just based off of how I'm talking about Catholics, and I'm not, and I am a Catholic, and but anyway, was that it represented the end of Lent, which means that whatever I had given up for 40 days, I can now have, and I can officially start having meat on Fridays again. So that was like a woohoo moment.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally did Fish Friday.
We've been doing Fish Friday every Friday for 15 years now.
Well, it used to be like that. When my mom was a kid, they didn't have meat on any Friday, not just Lent. Yeah, right. And then they changed it.
It was. But my parent, one year, our priest asked everybody to give up meat on Fridays for 1 year for all the, and this is a controversial topic that we're not getting into, but for all the aborted children, all the aborted babies. You know? So, which, fine. And my parents have just kept it up every Friday. Most of the time, even though I'm not religious anymore, I try not to eat meat on Fridays, but a lot of times I forget. And I'm just like, it's food. And I see food and I want it in my face. It's a seafood diet. I see food, I eat it. And so I try not to eat meat on Fridays, but I'm not as religious about it as my parents.
Yeah. I don't like seafood. I don't like it. I used to when I was younger. And, you know, they say your body changes every 7 years. Well, I have developed a hatred for seafood. I don't like the smell of it, the taste of it. Ugh. So
my dad doesn't
instead
either,
of seafood Fridays, I have carb Fridays.
Ah. Well, we only have one type of fish. We found fish fillets at Sam's that my dad will eat because my dad does not like seafood normally. So, but if we don't have that, sometimes we will have like just plain spaghetti. But I don't really want to get, but yeah. Or we'll have like grilled cheese, or we'll have anything other than meat. It's just like our vegetarian day. But
Yeah.
Which is hard because a lot of times my mom cooks something really, 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 really good on Thursday nights for supper. And it's usually a meat dish of some sort. And then we can't eat it again until Saturday. And I'm just usually like, especially if it's really good. I'm like, nope, I'm eating it. I don't care.
Come at me.
Like, fight me, bro.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is your favorite food for this time of year? Candy could be included.
To be honest, in my household, we didn't really have any particular Easter foods because, like, that kind of tradition doesn't really exist in, like, the part of the world my family comes from. So, yeah, because my mom's side of the family, they converted to Catholicism, but there's not really a tradition of, like, special meals made, you know, for Easter or Lent or anything other than, you know, doing Fish Friday. I mean, I guess it's partially because of, like, you know, Christianity as a religion is a relatively new thing, you know, in parts of Asia, especially, you know, places that maybe weren't colonized, or, you know, if they were places that were colonized, it came with the colonizers as a religion.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on when the religion actually showed up, there may not have been really much time to create that tradition. Plus, on top of that, the other thing now that I think about it is, at the time that, you know, my mom's family converted, this was like after World War II. So, you know, food, just like basic food for, you know, normal consumption is already kind of like, you know, problematic and inconsistent at times, you know, along with, you know, a lot of people who basically only had like the stuff that they can carry in their on their backs, basically, because of the war. So, you know, special foods is not really a thing for me growing up, other than the Fish Friday and, you know, the general Easter candy that you'd see on sale. And that's about it.
Yeah, on Easter, my grandmother would always make a lamb. Like a lamb or something like that. But now we go to like my brother and sister-in-law's, and you know, it's usually my sister-in-law is very Italian, so it's usually some sort of pasta dish and then some sort of like meat or whatever. But in terms of candy, I love Cadbury eggs.
Oh, love but Cadbury I only eggs. Like caramel filled ones.
Oh no, I like the cream ones
too. I don't like the cream ones. But I like the caramel filled ones. Ooh. Oh,
yeah. And then we always get there's a chocolate factory not far. It's called Old Monmouth, and it's right in like a neighboring town. And we always go and we get like big chocolate bunnies and stuff like that, and you know, obviously like jelly beans and you know things like that. And I always try and make my candy lasts until Christmas. I only have a little bit at a time. But I don't go too crazy with my candy.
Yeah, my daughter's favorite is jelly beans. She loves jelly beans.
Yeah, we get the Starburst.
Yes, Starburst are so good. Now, I was really surprised. I found Skittles jelly beans.
Mm.
And they are, and the green ones are actually lime and not green apple.
Ooh,
okay.
Ooh.
Which is my favorite because I don't like green apple that well. I don't like green apple candy. I love green apples, just like Granny Smith apples. I love them, but mm-hmm. I don't like green apple candy that well. So I was so sad when they switched the Skittles green from lime to green apple. But I'm a big more of a I love that type of fruit stuff though, so I'm weird. love like lemon lime stuff,
you know. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, back to the food part. Well, considering that in my family, we didn't have like any particular Easter foods that we ate. Actually, there's another holiday we happen to celebrate around Easter. That because like it happens to be around the same time of the year usually, but not necessarily the same dates or anything like that. But there's actually this holiday in China where it's very similar to Mexico's Day of the Dead holiday, actually. It's where we're supposed to visit our relatives in the cemetery and leave offerings and things like that. So it is very similar. I remember as a kid, we would almost do something that's almost like a picnic, really, which was very strange to a lot of people, but it's very common, actually. And if you happen to go to visit cemeteries around this time of the year, like if you happen to have come from a family where that's a thing you do, if you happen to have, you know, a decent population of like Chinese, Asian people in your community and who have relatives in the cemetery, you may have come across this, but some people will do practically a picnic there. And well, I don't know about in other parts of the country, but I remember as a kid, they used to light fireworks actually at the cemetery as well. But of course now New York regulations say you can't do that anymore. So we don't. And that used to scare the hell out of me a lot as a kid, because I did not like loud noises. And we'd also burn incense. We'd burn fake money as offerings as well. Just to kind of vary things up a little bit, when we visit my mom's parents, we just leave them flowers and we just bow to them. But when we visit my dad's parents, they are not Catholic. They are, well, they're not like particularly religious, but I think my grandmother may have been a Buddhist. I don't remember. But anyway, for my dad's parents, actually, my dad would not just offer the incense and the money and food, but also he would pour actually some rice wine on the grave too, because my granddad liked his alcohol, so he'd leave that. And actually, over the years, we've had to visit more and more relatives, so it's not uncommon for us to be at the cemetery for like 2 hours, going all over the place, like visiting different people, because, you know, over time, the different burial slots are available or not available, so, you know, different relatives are in different parts of the cemetery, so we have to go all over the place, so yeah. Being there 2 or 3 hours is not unusual. So,
well, and those cemeteries are humongous.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they are. And it's crazy. Actually, just by coincidence, we were there yesterday after not having, like, last time we went was, like, back in 2019, obviously, because of the pandemic, we didn't go. But we went yesterday, actually. And we didn't do the full visit because, well, let's just say my parents had other business at the cemetery to do, so we just stopped by long enough to leave flowers and bow to people and then leave. But yeah, it's a thing we do every year, usually.
I mean, I know a lot of people that do that. Like, I mean, like, we usually go on, actually, we've now decided to start avoiding the cemetery around holidays, because that's when a lot of people go.
So, yeah.
I guess I do the opposite of you.
Yeah.
That is pretty, you know, it's nice that you have like a time to go and do all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's also kind of interesting because visiting these relatives and you look at the gravestones and like you realize like when these people were born, and it's very interesting to see like history in a way of like your own family when you go do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we also like reminisce a little bit. Like, I mean, both my granddads, they both died in Hong Kong. So, you know, for people not familiar with this, so, you know, obviously because of limited real estate, apparently both for the living and the dead in Hong Kong, when you die in Hong Kong, you can get a burial plot, but you only get it for a few years. So it's almost like you're renting the space or leasing the space, if you will. And after a certain number of years, you have to decide what to do with the remains because they can't stay there for eternity. So actually, both my granddads, they had to be shipped here to the U.S. and we had them like reburied in like different plots in the cemetery that we go to. It's the big one in Brooklyn. And so like then when my grandmothers passed away, they like were, you know, placed with their husbands. So, you know, couples are easier to visit together. And yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone. Catch us next time
and see what we're going to talk about.
Because the three fates decide.
Are you ready to wow your friends with trivia tidbits about your favorite books and authors? Join me, Jess.
And me, Rachel.
On our new book trivia podcast.
Each episode, we kick off with some fun book trivia, then dive into our featured read with plenty of juicy behind-the-scenes insights.
If you love books, authors, and a side of silliness, then why not give us a listen?
Find us at booktriviapodcast.com or on Reddit, Instagram, and Substack, where we are Book Trivia Podcast.